When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
As many people who listen to this show or any of the audio shows that I do know, I recently launched a webcomic called Boulder and Fleet Adventurers for Hire. If you came across this audio journal called Thunder Punch Daily with me, Jersey Drozd, you probably don't know about Boulder and Fleet. And so the headline of the webcomic is, it's about a bear and a bird that go on adventures and right that which is wrong, sort of like the Incredible Hulk TV show from the 70s or Quantum Leap, but with cute animals instead. When I was in New York recently for New York Comic Con, a friend of mine described the book as, a friend of mine who's seen like a lot of the work in progress on it, because there's only a couple, like 16, 17 pages on the boulderandfleet.com website. He described it as Sylvanian Families meets the Castle of Cagliostro. And I think that's a pretty, well, I like that description at any rate. Let me just put it that way. I'll let you decide whether or not that's accurate. But I thought that was like, that's what I'm shooting for after all. Anyway, why am I bringing this up? I'm not just trying to do a crass plug for my own comic. I've been doing some experimenting with this. And this experimentation goes back quite a few months as I was thinking about putting together the webcomic. I thought, what are my goals for this thing? What do I want to have happen with this thing? Now, for those who've been following my stuff for a long time, you may have noticed that for the past 2 years, I've been posting a lot of sketches and in-progress stuff about the Boulder and Fleet characters. I guess it has been about 2 years now, because about a year and a half ago, I put together a pitch to send to publishers to try to sell the story and get a graphic novel made, because not because I didn't want to do a webcomic or I wanted to like keep it behind any kind of locked doors or that I was after any fast money grab, but it had more to do with the fact that I really want this comic to be read by kids. I want this to be a comic for, you know, 8 to 12 year olds, and in my experience doing those kinds of comics on the internet, while very rewarding, it's not the most effective way to get it to my audience. And right now, it continues to be the case that publishers are the place where there is a channel for such a thing. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Anecdotally, in teaching young kids, I noticed that they don't really get into webcomics until about 13 and on. And they're getting to the point where they're a little too old for the kinds of stories that I want to tell. And the other aspect of it is in order to get to the younger kids or get your work in front of them, you have to go through trusted channels, and publishers are trusted channels as far as parents are concerned. You want to sell the parents on the work so that they will allow their kids to have parents, teachers, librarians, etc. So, but my career has taken a turn in the last year in that I worked on the Warren Commission Report, which is a graphic novel, rather, I should say, a comics documentary about the Kennedy assassination, which is not for kids. It is for teens and up. And it's being well received. It's getting good reviews, and it's making people happy. Well, making people happy, that's not exactly the right phrase. People are appreciating it. Let me put it that way. And this has led to interest in other kinds of nonfiction comics works from me. So I'm working on pitches for that, which I'll get to a little bit later. And so the Boulder and Fleet project kind of got, as far as Boulder and Fleet getting picked up by a publisher, that kind of got put on the side burner for a while I pursue this nonfiction thing for a bit, which is not a bad way to make a living. I'm happy to draw comics and about topics that I am very, very interested in. But anyway, so I decided to make Boulder and Fleet a webcomic, which, you know, presented me with the opportunity to say, well, what are the goals of this thing? What do I want to do with this thing? And I already said I want this thing to be seen by kids. But how do I get it seen by as many people as possible? And so I thought, well, if you just do a webcomic, that's all. And then you tweet about it on Twitter, and you post about it on Facebook, and you post it on Google+. and so on. Yes, and we've seen this as a strategy. You post the link to your Canonical website and people will just go to it, right? Well, I've got a lot of Google Plus followers after being fortunate enough to be put on the suggested user list. And in my testing of posting different kinds of things, I found that, you know, even with a huge follower base of people who, you know, are discovering you, that doesn't mean that all of them are going to click on the links that you post. Anybody who's posted stuff on social networks has seen that, I'm sure. You know, you post the link to the thing, you got X amount of followers, and only like a small percentage of them actually follow through that link. Okay, well then, it's about getting the thing put in front of them. So I thought, well, if I post the comic natively on the social networks, I post it as an image on Twitter, I post it as an image on Instagram, I post it as an image on Tumblr, and so on. So there's nothing to click through to. You just see it. It just pops up in your feed. That's a way to expose a lot of people to it without the friction of having to entice them to click a link with some catchy headline. You won't believe what happens next, right? So I looked into lots of different avenues, and I landed on formatting the comic for reading on a phone primarily, because a lot of people, most people these days, a lot of people consume their media through small devices now. So the comic needs to be legible on a smaller screen. And then the other thing that I thought was, well, I want to hit younger audiences. And again, anecdotally, having taught kids for, you know, the last 7 years, I noticed that a lot of young kids, even kids that are in the target audience that I want to experience or enjoy this comic, there are a lot of them are on Instagram. And so I thought, well, this thing should be readable on Instagram first and foremost, hence the square pages. If you've been to the website, you'll notice that the Boulder and Fleet pages are formatted as squares. So square format, legible on a small screen, okay, and posted natively to all these different sites. But then this is where we get to what the title of this episode is about. Gosh, did that only take like 7 minutes? One of the avenues I investigated was a service called Tapastic. Now, Tapastic is a webcomic site, sort of like Comixology or Comics Plus. It's a clearinghouse of various independently owned comics, but unlike Comixology or Comics Plus, it's not selling digital comics. It's a place to post or host free webcomics, the old free webcomics model. And Tapastic does have a new beta program where they're incorporating some of the features of Patreon into it as well, where if you have X amount of subscribers, you can opt into this creator support program where readers on Tapastic can support you through micropayments. I guess like as the user, you buy a bank of money, like a wallet, and then you can dole out different donations to the different comics that you enjoy. And there's a mobile app, so you can read it on an Android phone or an iOS device or tablets, or you can read it through the browser. And Ryan Estrada, ryanestrada.com, there we go, invoked the name. He reported that it was a pretty great service for hosting images, unlike some other services that I won't name here. So I gave it a try, posted some comics on there. Didn't really make a whole lot of noise about it. When I did the initial the initial launch of the webcomic, I said, hey, you can read it on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, or Tapastic. And I got like a pretty decent reaction on Tapastic, which was neat. Hearing from people that I had not heard of before, people who had not heard of Boulder and Fleet before, which was very encouraging. And not only had not heard of it, but responding very positively to it and leaving some nice comments. And I got a lot of subscribers, or a good number of subscribers, pretty quickly. And the encouraging thing about that was that, again, I think a lot from the comments I'm getting, a lot of these subscribers are people who weren't aware of me as a cartoonist before. So compared to when I first started making webcomics, and I think this comparison is actually reasonable at this point, because, again, a lot of these people on Tapastic never heard of me. The uptake on subscribers to the comic on Tapastic was greater than the uptake of subscribers to the front web comic back in 2003 or whenever when I first started that. So a lot of positive uptake, a lot of nice interactions, more people subscribing on Tapastic than subscribing on Tumblr or on Instagram or Twitter. So it makes me go, okay, there's something to this place. And then I came across my first hiccup with using Tipastic is that they have some funny terminology for posting updates. So let me explain this real quick. Now, as I build my point to explain the hiccup that I ran into, if you're a user, okay, so if you're a user using Tipastic, you can search through all the different comics on there. And when you find a comic you like, you can hit a subscribe button. When you subscribe, the app will notify you when there's new updates to the comics to which you subscribed. And you can set, you know, notifications on the app if you want. So, like, the default setting is that it'll give you a little pop-up on your screen saying, hey, there's some new comics you subscribed to just updated today. And then you can go to the app and read them. You can shut off that notification, and there's, every time you log into Tipastic, there'll just be something at the top of the screen that says, hey, you've got 5 new comics that have updated. Click here to, or tap here to go read them now. So it's a pretty convenient way. It's using an RSS reader in the old days, for those who remember RSS readers. But with push notifications. I don't know if any of the RSS readers ever had those, but anyway, it's a great service for making it easy for readers to enjoy your work. So when you post an update, readers are notified. But and it's got this great feature where you create a chapter and the chapter just scrolls like in an infinite scroll kind of thing, where you just scroll down the screen to keep reading pages. You don't have to keep tapping a next button or a back button. So I made my first chapter of the Mining for Trouble story, the new Boulder Fleet story, added 3 pages to it, a cover in page 1 and 2. And then I thought, okay, well, next week I'll just add page 3 to that chapter and everybody will be notified and they can read it and comment and enjoy. Well, the way Tapastic works is they treat chapters as updates, not image additions as updates. So what that means is when I added page 3 to the page 1 and 2 update, to the first chapter update, nobody was notified. It was, the chapter was treated as if it was, from a week before. So it's not a new chapter, even if it has a new image on it. In other words, to notify my subscribers that there is a new page to read, I had to create a new chapter called Mining for Trouble, page 3. And I'm going to have to continue adding new chapters with each page update. Okay, not such a big deal, right? It's one little button, one extra button I have to push as the comics creator. But what this means is I lose the infinite scroll. In order to read subsequent pages, they have to keep hitting the next chapter button rather than just scrolling down and down and down. So trade-offs, right? It's like, what's the battle I'm fighting here? Am I fighting for user convenience or am I fighting for user notification? Or what's the convenience I'm fighting for? Reading convenience or convenience of being notified when there's something new to read? In the end, I opted for the convenience of being notified when there's something new to read. So for now, I'm going to have to, unless I'm missing something, and I dug around quite a bit on the Tipastic app and the website, as far as I can tell, that's the only way to notify readers that there's new comics on the Boulder and Fleet sub-site of the Tipastic page. And I'll link to this in the show notes so that you can look at it for yourself. But yeah, I guess with every service, there's always going to be trade-offs, as Rob and I like to talk about on the Lean Into Art cast. And, you have to choose the trade-offs that feel right for you. And sometimes discovering what all of the trade-offs are requires a little bit of extra research and digging around and asking around. I asked around on Twitter as well. And as far as the responses I got from my questions was that my assumptions were right, is that the only way to update your comic and send a notification to the readers is to create a new chapter with each new page. Or, well, the other option I could do is I could withhold pages and update in chunks. So, like, update once a month with 4 pages, or I can update once a week with single pages. That's another option, too. I decided that I don't want to give privilege to any one platform for the comic. In other words, I wanted to update simultaneously on Twitter, Google+, Tumblr, and Instagram, and Tipastic all at the same time. I don't want anybody to be waiting for it because of the functionality. So that was another trade-off that I decided to do. But so far, it's only been a couple weeks since this thing launched, and I don't have a whole ton of data beyond the initial data of Tapastic being the place where more people are interacting with the comic for now. I still have, you know, I still have my eye on Tumblr because I know that it's the ease of resharing on Tumblr makes it much more interesting and compelling to me as a hosting solution for a webcomic. Instagram, yes, a lot of people are on Instagram, but it's difficult. I know there's third-party services to reshare Instagram photos, but it's not baked into the application itself. So outside of pointing people at it as a mechanism to push the comics at readers or at them, like basically they have to subscribe to the comic in order to be notified of the comic, but they can't reshare the comic there. That's another, you know, trade-off that makes me not quite as attentive to what's happening with the comic on Instagram, if that makes any sense. And there's one final like sort of weird trade-off that I'm sort of sussing out and still haven't figured out how I'm going to do it, or how I'm going to address it, or what kind of solution there is for it in regards to Instagram in particular, is by creating a separate Boulder and Fleet Instagram account so that I can have a canonical feed so people can just follow the Boulder and Fleet Instagram account and then go back through the archives to read all of the pages in succession, rather than posting them on my Instagram feed and having them littered about with a bunch of other dumb photos that I take. What I've done there is I've created a separate channel that I have to point people to through my primary Instagram account, right? Well, I don't want to just double it up and just post the comic both to the Boulder and Fleet Instagram and my Instagram. Hence, like, if people are following both accounts, then they're getting, you know, repeat updates. So then I got to figure out another way to create an interesting image to tease them to go follow the Boulder and Fleet Instagram account, right? Which was kind of what I was trying to bypass by posting natively to Instagram in the first place. So solutions can sometimes lead to more problems, but I think I'm going to figure out how to do that. And I think there's a way to do it so as not to be too annoying to the people who are following me. By creating funny images, by sharing in process images. So like I shared, like, oh, here's the thumbnails to the page that just dropped in the Boulder and Fleet Instagram feed. And then occasionally, I suppose, it wouldn't hurt to double up the updates every once in a while. So where it posts simultaneously to my Instagram and the Boulder and Fleet Instagram. Funny how doing something as simple as making a webcomic, simple, it's incredibly complex to make a comic, both in terms of the writing and the drawing and the coloring and the designing and all that stuff. But then even once you even got the thing written and drawn, then there's like a whole nother bevy of concerns you got to navigate in terms of how to deliver it to people. And then another sideline altogether is I had to write a brand new story for the webcomic treatment, even after having written up a lengthy pitch for publishers, because if the comic catches on, if, you know, God willing, a lot of people read it and enjoy it, and I do have a stronger stance to sell it to a publisher, I got to have something ready to give to them, and it can't be the webcomic version. So rather than take the story that I wrote for the pitch and just adapt it into a webcomic, I thought, let's write a brand new story. If it catches on, I've got the pitch story locked and loaded, ready to sell to a publisher. And then I can work on both simultaneously, and it won't be... you know, I won't have to quit the webcomic in order to do the graphic novel. The webcomic can continue being a free advertisement for the graphic novel when it comes out, right? That's the thinking, at any rate. And you know what? I bet this thinking will change in the weeks and months to come. So I had more on my list of things to talk about on this Thunder Punch Daily, but it's amazing how just talking about something, you know, even a simple topic like how to deal with updating a webcomic can fill up the time. So I guess I got some material for tomorrow's Thunder Punch Daily. Who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, cartoonist and teaching artist, comicsaregreat.com. This is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge at artsoundoff.com, where I am updating the Thunder Punch Daily microcast every day for the month of November. And not only me, a bunch of other people are doing it too. Rob Stenzinger, my partner on the Lean Into Artcast, is updating his Polytechnicast. Owen Jolens is doing microcasts over at Audio Boom, as is Nathan Siebold, Robin White, and I believe Ashley Knapp joined the fracas as well. So lots and lots of people reflecting on their art days for the month of November, and you can find out more about it by going to artsoundoff.com or following the Art Sound Off hashtag on the various social networks. So the lady's voice you heard at the top of this episode was Tara Platt, voice actress and actress who wrote books about voice acting. And if you are interested in this audio journaling stuff, you're probably interested in good vocal technique, and you should check out the book she wrote with her husband, Yuri Lowenthal, voiceover voice actor, What It's Like Behind the Mic, which you can find at BugBot Press. I will link to it in the show notes of this episode. And the hosting for this show, if you're listening to it in the RSS feed, if you're listening to it, you know, through iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, the audio hosting was by Kablam, KABLAM.com, the one-stop printing solution for the independent comics publisher. They print comic books, and they do a good job of it. Okay, I will be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Today we saw Professor Smolin find a great treasure. It wasn't gold or jewels, but something even more precious, knowledge. There are many places to find knowledge, and one of the easiest and best is a museum. Museums are storehouses of knowledge where you can see and learn all sorts of fascinating things. There's probably one close to you, so pay a visit. Remember, knowledge is power, and you can get the power.